Dear God, thank you so much for each and every one of these people who are attending this Zoom call tonight or today, depending on where they're at. Thank you so much for their beautiful smiling faces, and thank you that we get to connect and get to talk about you, God. Thank you for all that you do for us. Amen. Awesome. So before I share my main message, I want to introduce myself. I'm Jolene. I currently live in Portland, Oregon. A few facts about me. I grew up and I attended a bilingual school. Entonces puedo hablar español. I speak Spanish. I lived... Gracias. What was that?
Gracias.
Yeah, genial. And I graduated from Portland Adventist Academy, and I also attended and graduated from Wallowa University. I work as an accountant for a nonprofit for low-income housing called Bridge Housing. A few more interesting facts about me. I recently purchased, I'm not in it right now because the internet is kind of spotty out there, but I recently purchased and have been living in a Bambi Airstream, which is about 12 feet long. It's where I've been calling my tiny home. I also attended the university down in Argentina, the Universidad Adventista del Plata. I was a ACA student there. I also have been an SM to Thailand for a few summers with Pedrito, if you know that group. I also have been able to travel to all 7 continents. I still am pretty surprised that I did that. Something that's kind of cool is that in Antarctica, the penguins are actually not afraid of humans because they never see people. And so my dad, I have some really cool photos of my dad laying on the beach. Well, it's like an iceberg, right? Because it's Antarctica. My dad's laying there and in a survival suit. They're like these really padded snowsuit type things. And my dad is, you know, talking to the penguins, and they don't really know what to do with him. And so they just walk right up to him and they just look at him because they're not afraid because they don't see people. So it's really cute and really cool. Yeah, penguins are adorable. Another thing, I'm a bit of an awkward soul, but it's something that I've learned to embrace and learn to love and share. Yep. A few of my hobbies include Krav Maga, martial arts, Zumba, yoga, photography, and horseback riding. Now that you guys know me a little bit better, I know that this kind of style of worship isn't super like what AYP usually does. So I just figured I'd let you guys know that I'm going to mostly be sharing stories. I'm not going to be doing much like diving into the Bible and studying that. Just a fair warning. I want to share with you guys a cringy, awkward moment that I had while I was a barista at Starbucks, because I feel like it's through stories that you can connect with people. So I worked for Starbucks for about 4.5 years.
Did we lose Jolene?
Can you hear me?
We got you. Yeah, you're back.
And we lasted for a minute.
Oops. The internet here is like spotty. I don't know what's going on. What was the last thing you guys heard?
Hey, we lost her again, or at least I did.
Oh no. Let me check my connection. Let's check. Can you guys hear me? Yes, no.
I can hear you now.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. I'll keep going. So a cringy, awkward moment that I had when I was a barista at Starbucks was one time I was working the drive-thru. So I was taking orders, headsets. I was using the cash register. I was organizing the drinks, putting food items together, all these different things, and connecting with the customers. Yes, I did work at Starbucks, Jason. And so one day when I was working there on a Sunday, it was really busy, a lot of people coming through. There was this car packed full of people, and they ordered a bunch of drinks. And so when I handed them their drinks, I was like, oh, are you guys off to a party? And then I realized, like, I looked at them, and I realized that they were all wearing black. Yeah, Marilyn just gasped. Yeah, because she got it. They were on their way to a funeral. And so I definitely did not read that one right. And that was a really awkward moment that I had. And I just kind of rolled with it. Or at least I tried to. It was really bad. I wanted to bury myself. Now, a less awkward, more touching moment that I had when I was a barista at Starbucks. I was working another Sunday morning, and I had seen hundreds of customers come through, and I was handing out drinks, and I had a customer pull up. She was an older woman, and I asked her, like, hey, how are you doing? And she looked at me, and she said that she was just fine. And I looked at her, and I could tell she was not just fine, and that she was just, you know, trying to avoid a potentially awkward moment of sharing what she was going through. So I looked at her and I said, no, you're not. I said, you're not fine. What's going on? And then I took off my headset and I said, hey, I'm here for you. And she was really surprised. And I honestly was pretty surprised too. I'm usually not that direct, but I felt like, I guess God kind of, he tugged on my heart to be that direct in that moment. And so with that, I asked her, like, hey, what's going on? And she had shared with me that that morning her best friend had passed away. And she was going through a really hard time. And so I said that I was super happy that she came to Starbucks and decided to visit me. And that that drink that I had that she'd ordered, I said that it was on us not to worry about it. And I wrote on her cup, like, little hearts and love yous. And then I also pulled out a piece of receipt paper and I asked if it was okay to pray for her and her best friend and her best friend's family who had passed away. And so that really meant a lot to her. And since then we've connected on Facebook and she became a regular customer at Starbucks. And she had shared with me that she had shared with all of her friends, like all the way in England, all of her friends in Europe. She had shared with them about how this friendly barista really changed her day around and made her feel really seen, loved, and cared for. And that's what I really want to encourage you all to do today, is to embrace the awkward, embrace the potentially awkward moment that you might have by engaging with someone and reach out and connect with someone. That's what I'd really like to encourage you all to do. Something that I really want to hone in is that even though you might not be able to change the whole world, you definitely have the power to change the world of the people around you. And so I think it's a pretty daunting task to try to change the world all at once. I think the way to go about that is to change the world of the people who are around you. So whether, you know, you're a Starbucks barista and you really can be there and connect with the people around you, or, you know, if you're, let's say, a janitor at a school and you just check in with the kids who are attending, there are ways that you can use where you're at to connect with the people around you and make a huge impact. I was really shy and quiet throughout high school. When I was in high school, I had just finished 2 years of homeschooling. And so my mom was my main friend. And so going into high school, I was a pretty awkward soul. And that all changed when I landed the job at Starbucks the summer after high school. Oh, cool. I see Matthew was homeschooled. And yeah, Daniel, I heard, I connected with Stephen, and yeah, I'll definitely be praying for him. Oh, Jason was homeschooled too. How cool. Yeah, awesome. So you guys know how it is. You feel me? Yeah. So going into high school was super awkward, pretty quiet. I'd say like I still am probably pretty close with my teachers who are there anyway. That all changed when I was working at Starbucks because part of my job as a barista was being friendly and connecting with the customers. That was part of the like job expectations. And so because of that, I was able to get a lot better and I was able to learn how to connect with people with where they're at through those experiences. So when I later would work at Myvdon during the summers. I don't know if any of you guys been to Myvdon? Anyone? Oh yeah, Jason has been homeschooled for quite a while. Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys have been to Myvdon before. I know that's where I actually met Marilyn. When I was at Myvdon, I always said yes to whatever their needs were. So one summer they needed someone to be the extreme girls counselor. I had never mountain biked before, but I learned with the campers. I also was the cowboy camp counselor, which meant that I would take the kids to the horse barn. Oh, yep, Tyler knows because Tyler worked there with me. Yeah. I was a cowboy camp counselor for a bit, which meant that I would take the campers up to the horse barn and we'd like muck stalls and things. And then I'd also been, I was also the wakeboard counselor, even though I hadn't wakeboarded yet. So that was really fun. Pretty crazy. And I would say like some of my best friends. Okay. I'm video thingy. I'm doing a Zoom call.
Okay. Sorry.
It's a worship thing. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Just letting my dad know what's going on. Yeah. So with that, a lot of my best friends have come from working at summer camp. One of them being Marilyn, who's sitting right here. Yeah, I did do a lot of things at Myvdon. You know how it goes, Tyler.
Yeah. You were everything.
Yeah. Marilyn knows too. She was a volunteer. Yeah. So you get thrown into a lot of different things, which is fun. You learn a lot, that's for sure. Yeah, so Marilyn, a few summers ago, Marilyn and I went to San Diego. And my aunt lives down in San Diego, so we went there to visit her. And while we were there, we got to do a lot of fun things. Like, we rode monster trucks. That was really fun. That was my favorite part, honestly. Yeah. One of them. Okay. We went to the beach, and we tried to learn how to surf. I almost took out our instructor. I'm not very coordinated. Yeah, so that was really fun. And while we were there, we went to the USS Midway Museum. I don't know if have any of you guys been to the US Midway Museum? No. It's like this long like ship. I think it's a carrier ship. It has like a lot of helicopters and airplanes that you can see like on top of it. It's really cool. So while we were there, while we were at the museum, I saw that this guy who was on our little tour, he was looking for a car rental. He's by himself, and he was looking for a car rental in Japanese. And so I speak and understand a very, very tiny amount. Skoshi wakarimasu, I understand a little bit of Japanese. And so I just decided to practice aircraft carrier. Thank you. Yes. And so with that, I decided to connect with him. And so I said, you know, in Japanese, I said, hi, do you speak Japanese? And he said, yes, of course, I'm Japanese. And then he continued the conversation and I didn't really know what he was saying. And so then, so like, yeah, that's all I know. And so with that, I asked him like, hey, are you needing a ride somewhere? Because I was able to borrow my aunt's 95 Honda Civic. I was like, if you need a ride somewhere, like I can drop you off. And so with that, we pretty much like stole him. We didn't actually steal him, but we were like, you're coming with us. And Marilyn and I took him for a little tour around San Diego, and we went for, I think it was Greek food, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really good. And then we showed him parts of Old Town San Diego, which is super nice. It was really fun. And with that, we also got ice cream, which was really good. And I would say, like, kind of connecting with him, which was honestly one of the highlights of the trip, just kind of embracing the awkward and connecting with people with what you have and where you're at. That's what I really want to encourage people to do, is to connect with the people around them. It's going to be awkward at first. It's going to be scary, like, to reach out and try to talk to someone who's a stranger. And that's what I would really like to encourage everyone to get more comfortable with. My last point I'd like to share about my passion to help the homeless. I have a huge heart to helping the people who are on the streets, because my junior year of college, I found out that my childhood best friend had been homeless for a period of time. I had lost contact with her for probably like 5 or 7 years. And she was my next door neighbor growing up. And so we used to do everything together. She's like a sister to me. And her name is Stephanie. And I found out my junior year, she called me out of the blue. Tim just shared the Instagram account where I raise homelessness awareness. With that, I was pretty hurt. It hurt my heart to hear that my childhood best friend, who's like a sister to me, had been homeless. So with that, I decided that I wanted to do something about that. So the next time, I don't know if any of you guys have been to Walla Walla University before. Bless you, Kara. I saw that you sneezed. Oh, you just followed all three. Oh, cool. Awesome. Yeah, my phone is, like, buzzing a lot, so I'm trying not to check it. Yeah, I hope that everyone found the Zoom link all right. But anyway, so with that, I don't know if any of you guys have been to Walla Walla. I know Tim has. There's, like, one Walmart where everyone goes. You bump into people you know there all the time. So with that, I went to Walmart after I'd heard that my friend had been homeless, and I'd seen there's oftentimes 1 to 2 homeless people who stand out on the street corners with cardboard box signs. And so when I was there, I saw that there was a homeless man standing out front. And so I decided to do something about it. So when I went inside to Walmart, I grabbed my groceries, and then I made sure that I got, I made sure to get him a snack. And so I got him like a little baggie of peanuts. And then I also grabbed him, it was a hot day in Walla Walla. So I grabbed him a Gatorade, and I went out there, and there's always that awkward moment of like just walking up to someone and shaking their hand and introducing yourself. So I put my groceries away, and then I walked up to him, shook his hand. I said, "Hey, I'm Jolene. Nice to meet you. How are you doing?" And we just talked about life, and he shared with me about his family, about how he misses his kids. He shared with me a lot of different things about life. And I think his name was Dave, if I remember correctly. And at the end of our conversation, it was starting to get kind of dark and cold. And so I said, "Hey, I gotta head back to the dorm to study. I have these things for you." And so I went to offer him my gifts, right, the Gatorade and the peanuts. And when I went to give them to him, he said, "Hey, I'm actually a diabetic and I don't have teeth. So what you're trying to give me, although they're great, I can't have them. Like they're not what I need." And so I said, "Oh," I was really disappointed, not gonna lie. I was like, oh. And so with that, though, he said that me just sitting or standing there talking with him and reaching out and connecting with him, he said that honestly meant more than any handout ever could. And so that was when I realized they don't need handouts necessarily. What they need is connection. And so I really want to encourage all you guys again to embrace the awkward, walk up to someone, introduce yourself, and connect with them. And then a way that I would like to encourage you guys all to do that now, because I know right now you can't exactly walk up to a stranger and shake their hand with social distancing, which I completely understand. And so the way that I would like to encourage you guys to kind of apply what I'm talking about to now, because I know things are a bit crazy right now, is reach out to someone that you admire, or reach out to someone who you've been meaning to connect with, who you found to have a lot of similarities with. For example, my friend Kesslyn, she's on Instagram at Kesslyn for Christ. I don't know if any of you guys know her. She's been someone that I've been really wanting to connect with. We have a lot in common. She's a barista actually at Starbucks right now. She's studying holistic health, and she also is an entrepreneur, super, super incredible person. And I've been really wanting to connect with her. And because of COVID-19, we're doing more like stuff on Zoom. And so with that, Kesslyn and I have actually been able to get to know each other a bit more during this time, because I've reached out. And then her and I are actually teaming, like we're a team to do worships. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, her and I are co-organizing like story-oriented worship. So if any of you guys are interested, you guys can let me know, and I would love to share that with you guys. I know it's a bit late. It's at 8 p.m. Pacific time, which I know is pretty late for people who are on the East Coast. With that, just to bring it back, I would highly recommend like reaching out to people who you admire, who share the same passion as you, and really connect with those around you through social media or phone call or whatever you guys have, or like set up a video call and really get to know people who maybe you haven't thought about like getting to know before. I'm going to go ahead and close with prayer and then open it up for questions. Everyone ready? Okay, let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for each and every individual here on the Zoom call. Please be with Stephen Farr. I know that he's having some health scares right now. Please be with him and help him to heal up. Please be with each and every individual here on the Zoom call. Help them to reach out and connect with you, Lord, as well as the people around you. Please help each and every person to be the light unto the world. Thank you for all that you do for us. Amen. All right. I'd also like to mention something that we do, like with the worships that I organized, yeah, that Tim just shared on Bridge Northwest. Or what we usually do at the end is we share Instagram usernames if you guys want to connect with me afterwards, and then I'll tag you guys all and all that stuff. So if you guys are interested, feel free to put your Instagram usernames. I'll put mine so you guys can find me. So I'd really like to connect with all you guys. Okay, I'm going to take a picture. Everyone smile. Okay. There it took. Okay. I'm going to write these down. Do any of you guys have any questions, comments?
Oh, is someone talking?
Are they? No, it's muted. Don't forget to unmute yourself, or you can even, like, if you have a question or comment, you can just put it in the chat.
I was wondering, your ministry, what kind of activities do you do with the homeless?
Oh, yeah. So currently, I do a few different things. I volunteer with Transition Projects, which is a nonprofit organization. So I do that, but right now they're kind of put on pause. They can't have volunteers go into the shelters.
And so currently, my friend Marilyn is actually going to help me out. We're going to make a bunch of food and take it to the homeless shelters. A few other things. For my birthday, I actually celebrated at the homeless shelter, which was super fun. If you guys are around Portland and you guys want to do that, let me know, and I'd love to help organize that for you guys. A few other things. Every month, my church, Crosspoint SDA, I know John has been there. Shout out, woo woo. yeah, Crosspoint, they, every month, the first Monday of the month, they go to transition projects and they make haystacks for an all men's homeless shelter. And we call it taco salad because they don't know what haystacks are. Yeah, it's pretty great. It's their favorite meal. They love it. And then currently on top of all of those, something that I do that I'm really working on I like to sit with homeless people on street corners and I spend time with them, connect with them, and I paint with them. Because I love art because it's therapeutic and it's something that a lot of them are actually very creative. And so I sit with them on street corners, on the sidewalks, and I spend time with them, ask them about life. And if they want to, they can paint and draw with me. And then my ultimate dream is to start my own nonprofit where I take their artwork and I put it on products and then I sell it so that way they can become professional artists and become self-sustainable. So that's my ultimate dream. That's where I'm going. I'm just kind of working currently like with my accounting job. I'm learning the business side of things and I'm also gaining the connections in the nonprofit world for working for a nonprofit. And then I'm also planning to gain connections through the shelters that I'm volunteering at. And then, yeah, eventually, hopefully I'll be able to start my own nonprofit. Yeah, Tim just shared, that's where I have my artwork. Yeah. I know Tim has the painting on one of his, I don't think you can see it where Tim's at right now, but he has one of them.
My office, I hang her Washington, USA, and Texas watercolors. And then here in my apartment, I hang a skyline of Dallas, which is where I live. So mm-hmm. Yeah, you should check out her website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd love that. It'd be awesome. Tim's so good at promoting people. I appreciate you, Tim. Yeah. I'm typing your guys' usernames so that way I can tag you all. Did you guys have any other questions for me? That was a really good question. I think that was Daniel who asked it, right?
Yeah.
Do you guys have any questions about traveling?
Curriculum did you use for homeschooling?
My mom, she'd have these videos that she'd have us watch. I don't remember most of it, to be honest. Yeah. What program did you use?
Abeka Books.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that was the whole process was Abeka Books. So I did Abeka Academy and all that kind of stuff. So.
Gotcha. That's awesome. The bunny's right here. Okay. Making sure the bunny's happy. So cute. Did you guys all see the bunny? Yes, no. I know some people joined later.
Let's see. I want to see.
You want to see the bunny? Okay. I rescued this bunny. My puppies were playing with it. Not quite like a chew toy because they weren't like crunching down. But yeah, it was in their mouth. And so I chased them. And then here's the little bunny. It's so cute. It's a little baby.
So cute. Thank you.
Ooh. Hi. Okay, it's just going to hang out right here. It's a little wild bunny. It's so cute. Okay, Rico asks, what's your biggest takeaway traveling every continent? I would say the more you travel, the more you realize a lot of things are cultural. And it makes you question, like, your own culture. Like, I'm trying to think of a good example. When I was in Japan, I know this is going to be kind of a weird example, but in Japan, they have heated toilet seats. which at first I was really weirded out by that. I was like, ooh, someone's been sitting here for a long time. Like, that's gross. And then I realized, yeah. And then I realized, like, hey, like, it's actually kind of nice, because in Japan when I went the first time, it was in the spring. And so when I would sit down, it wasn't like that initial cold, you know, it was super nice. And so then it made me question, like, why don't we have this in the U.S.? I don't know. It's super interesting. Yeah, Reggie said he likes Japanese things. The Japanese, like,
I love the cherry blossoms.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Cherry blossoms are really pretty. Do you guys have any other questions for me? Any comments? I'm trying to write your guys' names down.
I have a question. Do you think God's calling you to help the homeless?
Yes, that's a great question, Daniel. I know that God is calling me to help the homeless. I know that it's my calling because it's something that tugs on my heart. I actually talked with Kesselin about this, because she's doing, one of her businesses is to coach people and help them through like figuring out what their calling is and going after their passions. And so she like had me be a guest speaker, and we talked about like, how do you know what your calling is? And I explained that you know what your calling is and you know what you're supposed to do in life, like what God's encouraging you to do in life, based on based on what problems do you see in the world that really break your heart, and what problems in the world do you really want to see solved? And so, for example, some people, they hear a lot about animals. I care a lot about animals too. And so, you know, you might see, like, hey, it makes me really sad seeing all these animals in humane societies. And so with that, I know that there's like a 13-year-old boy. I read a story where he would sew himself little bow ties for the Humane Society to put onto sheltered animals to encourage people to adopt them. And I thought that was so cute, because he's using his talents that he has to sew to solve a problem, having the animals being in shelters and encouraging them to find new homes. And I thought that was super powerful. Or another example of something similar, one of my friends who's in Chile, she actually was partly raised, she lived in Antarctica as a kid growing up, super cool. With that, she is currently a graphic designer and photographer, and what she does is she takes pictures of pets at the pound, really high quality, gorgeous photos showing their personality, and then she gives them to the shelter or the pound so that way they can use them to encourage people to adopt them. And I think that's just really cool, seeing how people are using their talents to solve a problem that they're passionate about. And so I know for me, I worked when I was at Myvidin, I guess I forgot to mention, I was also an arts and crafts instructor. And so with that, I love, you know, I remember teaching arts and crafts to adults, which was really different, and especially to the dental and medical people. I had a surgeon, a full-grown man, who was really stressed about his tie-dye shirt because it was just bleeding everywhere. And I was like, hey, like, you got this. Like, it's going to turn out beautiful. Don't worry about it. And I know that through those experiences, I learned how to teach arts and crafts and encourage people to be creative and not to worry about how it looks in the end. And so with that, I know that having my friend, my childhood best friend, Stephanie, being homeless, I know that that was a huge, a very powerful moment that I experienced, where I learned that the people on the streets, they're not just strangers, they're my family. And so with that, I know that that's a problem that I really want to solve. And I know that that's what God wants me to do with my life. Mm-hmm. And Reggie, yes, I did go to London. I've been there. Yep.
What was Tartu like? I'm intrigued by the Antarctica and the Antarctica connection. I've never heard anyone that has so much connections to Antarctica. It's incredible.
Yeah, it's a great experience. So, okay, do you want to know like how I got there, what inspired me to go, all that stuff?
Yeah, and I even, like you said, your friend was raised in Antarctica. Like, how did that transpire? I've never heard of anyone being raised there.
Yeah, so let's see. The islands that I went to, so Antarctica is kind of like a circle with like a little tail. So this little tail over here, it's very close to the tip of South America, like Chile. And so with that, she's Chilean, my friend Marianne, she's Chilean, and she, her dad was a pilot he was a rescue pilot for DAP Airlines, which is the airlines that I flew to tour Antarctica with. And her dad was the pilot for the Antarctica base. So he would go from Antarctica to Chile and like he would transport people and supplies and things. And so I met her through DAP Airlines when I was waiting to go on a flight to Antarctica. Antarctica has very crazy climate. And so it's kind of hit and miss for whether or not you'll be able to go or not, depending on how clear the weather is and visibility and all those things. And so the way that I found out about the Antarctica trip is because when I was a student missionary in Thailand, I went with Pedrito Maynard. I think that's how you say his last name. I'm actually forgetting, but anyway, he's super great. I don't know if you guys know him. He is Jamaican and he is the head of the theology department at Walla Walla, and he's in charge of the trip to Thailand. And he was telling me about how excited he was to go to Antarctica, because then he'd be able to say that he's been to all seven continents. And I asked him like, oh, where are you flying to Antarctica from? Like, how do you get there? And he said, oh, from Chile. And so I just kind of thought about that. And then when I was in Argentina studying Spanish and refreshing my grammar, I had, the way that the dates lined up, I ended up having about a month of spring break in between my time at the Universidad Adventista del Plata in Argentina and then between Walla Walla University. And so I asked my dad, like, hey, Dad, would you want to go to Antarctica? And so with that, my dad flew from the U.S. down to Chile. I organized the trip. And then from Chile, we flew down to Antarctica through DAP Airlines. And that's the girl that I met who was raised there for a period of time, Marianne. She worked for the airlines, for DAP Airlines. And so that's how I connected with her, because she was a tour guide. And so she actually told me some really interesting stories. A few of them being like, yes, she was raised in Antarctica for a period of time. And so in Antarctica, they have different bases. So they have the Russian unit, they have the Chinese base. Yeah. Marilyn's Russian, so she's looking at me. Yeah. And then there's also the Chilean base. And let's see, I'm trying to remember the islands that we went to. They had a few different bases. And then there's also an Orthodox church there, which is really interesting. It's the most southern Orthodox church that has a full-time pastor. So there's a pastor there who's like there for the year, which I think would be pretty intense. Yeah, that's that. And Marianne also shared with me that they had this thing that I didn't really know about until I'd heard about it. There's a lot of people who do this like marathon around the world. I don't know if you guys have heard about it. They do like a marathon on all seven continents or something. So she was leading a group. They have an overnight stay in Antarctica. And so they were, this group of marathoners were doing that. And so they were going to run in Antarctica or whatever. And she said that what ended up happening was the plane had to go and rescue some other people and go back to Chile. And then what ended up happening was there was a storm and there was no visibility. And so the marathon runners ended up getting stuck and trapped in Antarctica for like an extra week, and like stuck in like one of the units. And so, yeah, that's that I thought was pretty interesting. And she said that was really hard.
Poor thing. So So are those bases like down there that each country has, is that like their sovereign land? I mean, cause it's not really like, it's not a country, but I guess it's just divided up.
Yep. Like they just have their units there, and a lot of them are scientific bases. Let me see if I have, I'm trying to think if I have any photos. I know I have, if you go on my Instagram, I have a lot. If you go to like my stories, like these things, I don't think you can see it because the light, but if you look at my stories, I have one of Antarctica, and you can go through and see what it looks like there. And I think I describe, yeah, even like show a video of like where we go in Antarctica. It's the King George Islands.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's intriguing. That's just fascinating. It's like, it just looks like a barren wasteland, you know? It's like,
yeah,
most likely, I guess.
Yeah, it's definitely not as bare as you might think, because there are glaciers, and they're huge and they're beautiful. There's also, like, where I went, there was a penguin island. So it's really interesting because the life that they have there is, like, very, like, organized. I don't know how to describe it, but they have, like, the penguin island that we had to raft to, and then there was some giant elephant seals that were along the beach. And then there was also a sea lion there. So they have like some life there, which is kind of cool. But yeah, there's not a whole lot. There's not, you know, there's not like a city or anything. There's a church.
Oh, that's yeah. Cool. Necessary, I guess, but I'm just intrigued by that. Like the whole continent is just intriguing, but I don't want to go there because it's too cold.
I get that. Well, you have a survival suit, so you'll be fine. It's like a, yeah. It's an orange jumpsuit, you know. It's really funny. Here, let's see. Did I go to London? Yeah, I have been to London. I went with my dad. When was that? The summer of 2018. How organized were they? Do the penguins pay taxes? I don't think the penguins pay taxes. I think they just enjoy their little lives doing things, and it's really cute when they like jump into the water, like they kind of do the dolphin thing, you know. It's so cute. I love it so much, and they like waddle around. I adore them. Do you guys have any other questions? Any other anything about Antarctica or about connecting with people? Any comments? I'm gonna try to finish writing. Let's see.
The bunny keeps tickling me because it's like burying itself in my armpit.
The bunny is tickling Marilyn because it's crawling around. I don't see any other questions. Are you guys good? It's getting so much more energetic.
I know. Why is it like my ear?
Because it likes to bury itself, I think. Little bunny.
Sorry. I just licked my ear.
¿Dónde aprendiste español?
Oh, puedo hablar español también si quieres.
¿Dónde aprendiste?
Aprendí español porque fui a una escuela bilingüe. Cuando era niña, cuando tuve 5 años hasta 12, y luego fui a la Universidad Adventista de Plata para recordar la gramática porque olvidé casi todo. Yeah.
Okay, okay.
Mm-hmm. ¿Vives en un lugar como en Argentina o algo así?
No, yo vivo en México.
¿O México? Oh, sí. Conozco.
Sí. Vivo en la universidad, Montemorelos.
Entiendo. Oh, if you guys didn't understand what he asked, I guess I should say, he asked where I learned to speak Spanish. I learned to speak Spanish because where I, a few hours, like 20-minute, 30-minute drive from where I live, there's a bilingual school in Cornelius. And so I went to a bilingual school from the time I was in kindergarten until I was in the sixth grade. I'm just writing down your guys' names.
Hey, Jolene, I can actually send you the chat history when we're done if you want.
Okay, cool. I'd appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys all doing pretty well in quarantine? Depressed. Marilyn's depressed in quarantine. Look at his ears, so cute.
Where are you going? It's like popcorn.
Mm-hmm. You just calm down. So cool. I think we are ready to wrap up. Does that sound good with everyone? Oh, I'm glad quarantine has been great for you. Yeah, that's good. I feel you about the virus. All right. Yes, I will end with another prayer. Yeah, okay. I guess we'll pray again. Okay, let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you so much for all of these moments with you and all these moments to embrace the awkward and connect with people around us. Thank you for allowing us to have the Zoom call where we can connect with people from around the world in different languages and share about you. Thank you for all that you do for us. Amen. Mm-hmm.